Engel, Oladamare, Jenyami, Olarun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amen Ra, many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgery, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today, to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our family, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation, libation, libation. It is good.
Their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
It's my baby mama, I want y'all support. She get reference checks, but I stay in court. It's my baby mama, she be riding caddy, and she always looking for sugar daddies.
It's my baby daddy, he be always broke, and he ain't no good, nothing but a joke. It's my baby daddy, he ain't nothing heavy, he be cheating on me, that's why I can't stand it.
Man, this freak has got me stressing. In the court, I must confess it. Plans trying to get that check, and Cooper Higgins on your neck, and in the jail, I can't be staying, and my jeans, you can't be taking. Child support can burn like torch when you get behind on payments. Here they go, they send them letters, then they wanna come and get you. Probably
short. Now not paying cash support, and these folks got me running, man. Spending nights with his other princess and all my dogs, man. Warrants for your boy arrest, got me sweating from the stress. Getting drunk and high all night, about to drive me to that. Man, if these folks want me, they gon' really have to find me. Messing off with this galleyway, they so grimy.
It's my baby mama, I want y'all support. She get record checks, but I stay in court. It's my baby mama, she be riding caddy, and she always looking for sugar daddies.
It's my baby daddy, he be always broke, and he ain't no good, nothing but a joke. It's my baby daddy, it's nothing heavy, he be cheating on me, that's why I can't. Why you playing? Boy, your baby need some shoes, boy, your baby need some clothes, need to try and pay your fees. Why you buy her panty? Ain't no more for me and you. But then what they gotta do with the seed we had conceived? Don't you know he's part of you? I don't wanna hear your mess. Talk to me by giving checks. Put a judge up in my business. What I want is what I get. Should've known it from the jump. All that talk was just a front. Now you paying for that lane and see you in court next month.
Pay you cheese, I'll give you quarters. I'll just wait for court to order. Mexico is where you find me, somewhere around the border. Hanging with the finest women, walking with a gangster lippin', drinking on a case of DP Goody. You know we with it. I done hustled, worked a job and broke some back. There weren't no stopping. You done did the club and hopping, and them you kept on. Now I see why you be freaking. Now I know why you be geeking. If you wanna give me reasons, catch me in that player seat.
It's my baby mama.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Good evening, and thanks for joining the ladies of After 7 with the Black Reality Think Tank. The material on this program may strike some viewers as vulgar, offensive, lecherous, and/or serious. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 17. The views and opinions expressed by the After 7 panel are those of the individual panelists and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Black Reality Think Tank. Any content provided by our panel or guests are theirs alone and are not intended to slander any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. With that being said, ladies, are you guys ready to get into our topic today?
Yeah, we ready.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to kick it to my girl, Maya Marie, for our ancestral profile.
Thank you so much, ladies. Hey, 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 and welcome again to another episode of After 7 Radio Show. It's your girl, Maya Marie, and our ancestral profile for tonight is the innovative Ike Turner. Izeer Lester Ike Turner Jr. was born on November 5th, 1934, and was an African-American musician, band leader, songwriter, arranger, talent scout, and record producer. He was an early pioneer of 50s rock and roll and is best known for his work in the 60s and 70s with his then-wife, Tina Turner, in the Ike and Tina Review. Born in Clarksville, Mississippi, Ike was the youngest of two children. He quit school in the eighth grade and began working as an elevator operator at the Alcazar Hotel in downtown Clarksville. During breaks, he would watch DJ John Friskillo play records at the radio station WROX located in the hotel. Friskillo ended up teaching Ike the ins and outs of the control room, and eventually Ike was offered a job as a DJ on the late afternoon shift. And in his show, Jive Till 5, he would play a diverse range of music. Ike learned to play the piano, but did not take the formal style. He didn't take to the formal style of playing. He played by ear and also taught himself to play the guitar by playing along to old blues records. He moved into the Clarksville Riverside Hotel and associated with many of the musicians the hotel hosted. Ike then formed the group, the Kings of Rhythm. They performed covers of popular jukebox hits. And in 1951, they recorded Rocket 88, which is considered to be the first rock and roll song ever. It was released under the name of Jackie Brinson and his Delta Cats and became a number one hit on the R&B chart. Ike also worked as a talent scout for Sun Records and Modern Records and was instrumental in the early careers of various blues musicians like B.B. King, Howlin' Wolf, and Bobby Blueland. When he relocated to East St. Louis in 1954, the Kings of Rhythm became one of the most renowned acts on the local club circuit. It was there that he met Anna Bullock. The young singer joined his band and soon developed a personal relationship with Ike. They married, and he helped transform Anna Mae Bullock into Tina Turner by changing her name and creating her stage persona. He then formed the Ike and Tina Review with the Ikettes, and over the course of the 60s, they became a soul rock crossover success. They scored a string of hits, including I Idolize You, It's Going to Work Out Fine, and Poor Fool in the early 60s. They were invited to open for the Rolling Stones by Mick Jagger on their 1966 British tour. This exposure introduced their bold style and soul influenced rock music to a wider audience outside of R&B. Soon they were booking bigger venues, and by 1969, they were headlining Vegas, honey. The release of Proud Mary in 1971 became Ike and Tina Turner's biggest hit, reaching number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 5 on the R&B chart. It sold more than 1 million copies and won the duo a Grammy Award for the Best R&B Vocal Performance by a Group at the 14th Annual Grammy Award. Drugs and legal troubles, along with accounts of domestic abuse by Tina, plagued Ike's career in the 80s and 90s. Near the end of his life, Ike was able to revive his career with live performances and return to his roots in the blues. In 2001, he released his solo album, Here and Now, and it was nominated for a Grammy. He released Rising with the Blues in 2006 and won his first solo Grammy Award for Best Traditional Blues Album at the 49th Grammy Awards. Ike's influence on the music industry will be felt for years to come. Not only did he give us classic music, he desegregated audiences. He would only play to mixed audiences in the southern states and would not play if an audience was segregated, okay? Hailed as a great innovator of rock and roll by contemporaries like Little Richard and Johnny Otis, Ike received critical acclaim as well. Rolling Stone editor David Fricke ranked Ike number 61 on his list of 100 greatest guitarists and noted Turner was one of the first guitarists to successfully transplant the intensity of the blues into non-commercial music. Ike won 3 Grammy Hall of Fame awards and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with his wife, Tina Turner, in 1991. Tonight, we salute and recognize an innovator and a blues legend, Ike Turner. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get the show cracking. We're discussing a topic that is very commonplace in our community, co-parenting in 2020. Now, I can tell you, I don't have any biological children of my own. So I never had to deal with any baby daddy drama. But I can say that I am a product of a co-parenting relationship. I've dated men who had to co-parent. And I have close family members and friends who, you know, have had to co-parent. So I've experienced it that way. I've seen it firsthand. Knowing what it's about, but my beautiful co-hosts that are on with me tonight, they are all moms. So they've had experiences with co-parenting with their child's fathers. And so tonight, we are going to discuss, have some dialogue, ask some questions, come up with some ideas and suggestions about co-parenting in 2020, and, you know, what can make it better. Because sometimes it's not always good. Sometimes it's not the greatest. But we want to have that open dialogue. So before we get started, I do want to introduce my co-host. I know you guys hear us on this show every week, and you may not know who we are unless we're saying our name. So with that, I want to introduce my girls. I got Shani B on the line. Say hey, Shani.
Hey, Shani. I'm here.
All right, we got Lady B.
Hey, guys.
Where you at, Lady?
Hey, ladies.
All right, and we got Pavy on the line. Hey, Pavy.
Hey, hello, everyone.
All right, so now who you know, now that you know who all is on here, we're going to go ahead and get started. And just to let you guys know, if you're listening to us and you want to call in, you have questions or comments or suggestions or ideas that you want to share, definitely make sure that you do that. Our number is 215-490-9832. All right, so with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to kind of have like a little round table. We don't have a guest this week, so we're going to share and take from pull from our experiences. So with co-parenting in 2020, I want to ask you ladies, and I'm going to go around, what is your biggest challenge in co-parenting? And I'm going to go to you first, Haiti.
For me, my daughter's father lives in Madison, so being that he can't be around physically, I would expect him to be around more financially, or kind of just take part in some everyday, whether it be a phone call or things like that, more active that way. So I would say, like, actually being involved on a daily, that would be one of the, with her, because she's old enough to have that. That would be one of the biggest challenges.
Okay, cool. What about you, Shani?
Okay, so you guys, I experienced the best of both worlds. I have two different children's fathers, and I only have an issue with one. And with that one person, I think that the challenges that I have is that he doesn't put the child first, you know? So, you know, I think egos and, you know, what he has or his needs go before the child. And my system or whatever, my thought process, my values, and my character thinks otherwise. So not being able to have a meeting of the minds and him not putting our child first.
That's a big one, too. How
about
you, Lane?
I would have to say a little bit of everything, from communication to getting the kids every week or every other week like he's supposed to. Almost a little bit of everything, because if we're on good terms, he's fine with everything. If we're on bad terms, I can care less. Like, still get your kids. You can text me. We don't have to physically talk. But, like, if we're in bad terms, it's like communication dies down. So communication is, like, one of the biggest things that we have a problem with when it comes to the children.
Got you. Okay. I can understand that. So that kind of segues into my next question. So I know you mentioned about if you guys are not getting along, you know, sometimes the communication breaks down. So my next question, that kind of brings me to my next question. Is your co-parenting effective when you don't get along?
No, not at all. Like, for me, I've always been taught, no matter what me and the parent has going on, to still let the kids be the other parents. So for me, it's like, you can still get your children. I don't care. You can just text me. So you don't have to physically talk. So when it breaks down, it's really hard to, you know, tell the kids why their dad won't come get them, because it's almost as if they feel like mom is doing it, but it's more so, no, mom don't really care if you guys go to dad's house. Dad just isn't coming to get you. Dad didn't come get you. So it makes it very hard.
So how do you combat that? Like, how do you, you know, because I know that's hard for you. If you have to explain that to your baby, you know, how do you go about doing that?
Because my kids are so young, so my kids are still kind of like toddlers, 5 and 3. Because of it, we just keep moving forward, period. Like, we just do us, whether it's going out to a bounce house, kicking it at a cousin's house or something. I just try to take their minds off of their dad not wanting to get them for that weekend.
Got you. Okay. So I know sometimes that can be upsetting, and that's good that you do that with them to get their mind off of it, because I know sometimes, you know, as a kid, and I experienced that as a kid, you know, my mom and dad might have would have got into it. He was supposed to come get me, and I used to always be excited about going with my daddy because it was always fun. We always had a good time. So, you know, if they would have got into it, sometimes she might have been like, okay, well, you can't come get her. And then, you know, or maybe he just didn't want to come get me. You know, he was fed up with the situation.
I'm just itching to answer this question or whatever, because, you know, I told y'all I have the best of both worlds. Well, I don't want to call the other one the best, but with my son's father, I can honestly say that we get into it all the time, but we have a common ground and a common goal to see our son be successful. So we can get into it, have a screaming match, curse each other out, or, you know, now he curses me out sometimes. Well, actually, he doesn't even do that anymore. So let me take that back. Let me talk about the growth in this brother. But anyways, we've always been able to put our child's needs first. So us getting along never impacted my son. But when it comes to my daughter, it always impacts her. You know, like, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, my daughter was supposed to have a visit by her father. He didn't show up. You know, he didn't want to get her. You know, he made all these different, you know, issues with picking her up and all this other stuff. So I was given the burden of explaining to my daughter why her father did not want to get her. And I couldn't. You know, I honestly did something like what V did. I bought her flowers and I told her she was beautiful and I told her she's so important to me, and I lifted her up instead of putting her down and telling her, oh, you know, he's not, or talking bad about him. So, you know, I just buy stuff, buy her flowers, do stuff or whatever when she's disappointed because we can't get along, you know, because she is also, she's always impacted by it.
Hey.
Okay. I didn't hear your laugh.
I'm here. For me, with my daughter's father, I think it's more so of the, if we're not getting along, we really don't talk because she's 16, so we don't have to talk. But if we're not getting along with certain things, because I just want my daughter to be able to have, you know, to be able to experience everything, especially being in high school. So he may not feel like it's a necessity. So I don't want to have to debate about those things. So most of the time, unfortunately, I just take care of it on my own, which it shouldn't be like that, but I do.
Right.
But I also have, we've been blessed with him. He got married, so his wife definitely makes sure that she assists with a lot of things as well. So before she came along, you know, it was stressful, it was rough, but now that she's around, she, you know, she sees it the way I see it. So we were blessed.
That's dope.
That is dope. That now, and that makes me think of, because there are situations where, you know, you guys, you're sitting up having a kid and then you're no longer together anymore. Now, I know you mentioned him getting married and his wife playing a role in you guys and kind of making a bridge and bringing you guys together. So that's definitely a good thing. That was one thing that came up to me as far as, you know, does your ex's new partner and your co-parent?
Right. So, yeah, so I think that's always important to have someone that kind of can help, you know, help that growth. Somebody that they respect, not to say he doesn't respect me, but I'm not there. So it's always like,
right.
she just wants her to do everything, or that's too much, or, you know, he just doesn't see it how I see it. But to have someone there that you actually love and you cherish to be able to work, you know, help you work through those things is everything. Although it's your child, everybody doesn't grow up with fathers or, you know, right. Sometimes you just don't know how to be a father. So,
right.
I'm glad that, and she's actually, not to be telling her business, but she was actually adopted. So she may see a lot of things like I see, or, you know, we all have different views on how children should be raised. But it's always in the best interest of my daughter with her. And I really appreciate that.
That's a beautiful thing. And you were definitely blessed. You were definitely blessed in that area, because everybody doesn't have that.
Right.
You know, everybody have a spouse you know, their ex's spouse be a major part or play a major role or even a positive role. Because I know there are some times where, you know, a co-parenting, a partnership is kind of tainted because, okay, now he has a new girlfriend and you don't like that girlfriend and you don't want her around your kids and, you know, so it kind of gets messy at that point. What do you think, Dan?
Well, when I think about that or whatever, again, I have like polar opposite relationships with both of these men. You know, one of them is about to get married. I love his fiance. I call her his wife. I love his wife. You know, she's an adult. She's a grown, mature woman. We've never had any issues or any difficulties or anything like that. She even takes my daughter in. You know, and it's just such a healthy co-parenting relationship where everybody gets along. And she's a woman, so she understands a woman's experience. Now, the other one, you know, he had like plenty of chicks that he's been dealing with since we've been broken up. I've gotten into a conversation with a few of them, and it's just one that sticks out, and she's super immature, and she encourages him to be a non-active father, and I can't respect that. My sisters tell me it's none of my business, and it is not any of my business, but as a woman, you know, I could not take a man seriously if he's not a good father to his children. And if a man is not loyal to his children, how could he be loyal to you, sis? You know, and it's not, I just don't get that. But, you know, his support system is horrible. And he has a lot of people that's in his corner, and they're encouraging him to do bad things and have bad behavior and not making him or holding him accountable to be a good person, a good man with good character, you know, having and living with integrity. So again, polar opposites. Yeah, I've experienced the bad, you know what I'm saying? And I'm the parent that, hey, if you don't beat my kid, if you don't, you know what I'm saying, do anything bad to my child, you know, I'm at your door. Hey, come, you know, get your kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ever trying to hold my kid. Yeah, you and her, y'all together, y'all playing house, come get this kid too, you know? Like like in the Ike and Tina Turner movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? Yeah, I'm that chick that's dropping the baby off. Y'all want to be a family now, you know? I'm going to come get my baby, but you need to spend time with her too, because I grew up in a co-parenting household that was effective, and, you know, my parents didn't get along, but I never saw them argue. I never saw them disagree. And I heard stories about them, but I heard stories from other family members. And they always showed me love. And that's the type of parent I wanted to be. Hey, even if me and my ex don't get along, I still want us to be able to function. We don't have to go together. We don't have to be in a relationship. We don't even have to, you know, do anything. But let's get along for the kids, you know. So that's my two cents. I'm muting my mic.
Absolutely. What about you, V?
I would have to say, for me, because I know my ex was my ex-husband, and I know his relationship pattern, and he's one of those, if he gets into a relationship too soon, it's not a serious relationship, or it's not meant to be a serious relationship, just because I know how he is. And speaking from experience, his last relationship ended up having a child with this woman, but then he left her too. And I pretty much saw that coming, but while they were together, he was a good father sometimes, but then it was just like with her, she would pop by my house if he was gone too long. She would do drive-by visits, like, and I would see her on my Ring doorbell, like, are you seriously driving by my house looking for us? He's not at my house. He's just not at my house.
What?
And even her niece and nephews, like my son, one of them got into it with one of her nephews and he punched them. Like, her nephew punched my son. So at that point, I just felt like, now we got a problem. I need to know who this chick is. Are you marrying her? Like, what's going on? Because my kid should not get hit by another kid and you ain't do nothing about it. Like, my kids, when they with me, cousins, they not hitting on them. You know, if I'm dating somebody with kids, honestly, when I'm dating somebody, they don't meet my kids, period. Because if I don't see us going into a committed relationship, you're not about to meet my kid, period, point blank. You don't even, I got two kids, you don't know nothing else about them. I got two kids, you know their name, and that's probably about it, if they're a boy or a girl, that's it. Nothing else needs to be said. You don't need to know nothing.
Right.
So, I understand that, but V, I don't know if I agree with that. You know what I'm saying? Not to, you know, no, because my dad was the ultimate playboy in his life. I've met so many of his girlfriends and it was never a problem. My mama didn't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't care because, you know, they always tried to buy my love. So, exactly. But I mean, okay. It's like, it didn't have a negative effect on me. It showed me the type of man my father was, and it showed me, you know, men from a different light, but it was fine. Like, I grew up fine. I think I'm fine. What y'all think?
I guess like, when my parents split up for a short period of time, my dad was with another woman, and that woman was evil to me. Like, she was the nastiest person to me. She threatened my life one time, like, everything. So for me, it's just like,
wow.
My mom, pretty much, she just shut that down. It was just like, no, you can't have my kids around her. But that was the woman he was living with. And he felt like, well, this is where I live, so my daughter needs to come over here. But because I was a teenager, I was just like, I don't want to come to your house. Like, she don't like me. Your house is nasty. I'm about to bust her daughter in her mouth. Like, I'm not coming. I'm okay. Whoa. I made myself busy every weekend. Every weekend he wanted me, I made myself busy. It was, I want to see you. I know if I got plans. Like, every weekend I was busy. It didn't matter. I could be sitting in the house cleaning for all I cared. I wasn't going to my dad's house.
So your experiences, that makes a huge difference. My experience was different. So I understand why you feel that way.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, too, you know, in mentioning with your kids and your exes, new partners and everything like that, as far as with the kids, one thing that stands out to me, my mama never talked bad about my daddy, even though he probably did some stuff that she definitely had an issue with. You know what I mean? I know that there were some times that they argued and they didn't agree on things, but she never talked bad about him to me. You understand what I'm saying? And I see so many young ladies who talk bad about their child's father to the child. What do you guys think about that? Is that important or is it okay if they
let
do?
Let me go first.
We're fighting over this question.
No,
okay.
Typically, when the women are bitter about the breakup, I haven't talked bad about my daughter's father. You might run into a situation where he was supposed to do something that he didn't do. I might make a face, or you know, you might can tell I'm a bit bothered, but that's right. Not her chill. You know what I mean? That's not. I would never try to corrupt my daughter's mind like that. You know what I mean? She doesn't deserve that. That's right. Not her situation. So that's between me and her dad, what he does not do or what he does do, you know. But that's just not her deal. I don't think children should be put in that predicament where they have to choose or they have to feel any type of way. But I really think it's a bitter baby mama situation at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary.
I agree. What about you, Shani?
Oh, I kind of agree with Tavy, but I kind of disagree too, because I think that to the child, as a person that is, you know, a child under 17, yeah, those conversations should not be had. But, you know, when a child is an adult, you know, there's a different conversation that you have to have with your children to prepare them for the world. I was the parent that, you know, I uplifted baby daddy, you know what I'm saying, both of them, and I still do. Even when they do bad things, because I had a challenge with, you know, my son's father when we first broke up, you know, it wasn't all peaches and cream. Our relationship was totally different. You know, he talked bad about me to our kid and stuff. And, you know, I don't even really want to go into it. But what I am going to say is it took a lot for me to, you know, I mean, my son doesn't look at me differently, but hearing somebody talk down on their mother is not the best thing for a person. And I wouldn't want, and I treat people how I want to be treated, but right. I do journal, you know, because I do believe that a woman is supposed to share her story with her daughter. So I think that I journal because eventually I'm going to share my story as a woman with my daughter when she becomes a woman, to just let her know my experiences, because I don't want her to repeat the same repeat the same mistakes. I don't want her to repeat the cycle. So at a certain age, oh, go ahead.
Sorry, you don't can convey that message without the actual message, though?
I think you need to be real, because I still can't even get a real answer about my mom. I mean, I don't have that good rapport with my mom for her to be honest about certain things. And the way that I feel when I know the answer and she can't be honest with me, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to do that to my child. So yes, I can't do it. I have to be true and I have to be authentic, because she needs to see me. She needs to see me as a woman and a mother, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because kids judge, and I was one of those kids who judged, and I judged my mama because I put her on this pedestal like she was a goddess and she couldn't do anything wrong. But when she did human things, and when she, you know what I'm saying, behaved as a human, I like tore her up, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want my child to tear me up because I'm a human. You know, I want her to know that her mother is human. You know, I make mistakes too. And it's okay to make mistakes. It's what you do after that. So I'm just a little different. You know what I'm saying? And I work on myself a lot. And that's just one of the promises that I made to myself, to be authentic to my daughter. My father and I have that relationship. My father has had a very different lifestyle. And there's nothing taboo under the sun. And he's always been open and honest with me. And I respect that. And I love that about him. He's a man of his word. And nobody can say anything negative about my dad to me. And I want that relationship that I have with my father, with my children. So
I completely understand that. I also think that, too, with that, a lot of times when children grow up, when they start getting older, they start to see those things for themselves. So right. If my dad is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know what I'm saying? My mama never had to say anything because I saw it for myself. You know, same thing with some of my friends, you know, and their children. Their child, one of my friends, her daughter's father, he be cutting up. I'm talking about cutting up. That little girl loved him to death. You couldn't tell her nothing about her dad. But now that she's older, she's starting to see some of those things that he's doing that she may not agree with. She's starting to see some of those things, and she's like, okay, now I understand why my mama be, you know, acting like she acts, or why my mama is, you know, some of the things that she does. Because now I can see it for myself. So I think sometimes you may not have to say it, but I think that they will see it as they get older anyway. Because kids are resilient. Kids pick up on things. And they can see right through some of those smoke mirrors. They can see all of that. So sometimes I think you don't have to say anything because they can see it on their own.
Yeah, they definitely know. They definitely know. And Sean, I certainly respect what you're doing, what you're going to do with your daughter. I'm just saying maybe you want to think about another approach. What if it backfires on you? What if right now he's not the best dad, but he turns out to be the best dad later on? Because that's how I feel. Like, my daughter and her father have a terrific relationship now. She gets mad at him just like she gets mad at me. But she still has that rapport with him now. And I'm glad that I never tarnished that for her. You know? He was able to turn around because he met somebody that helped him do that. Now, and I feel like you should have faith in the process. He might meet someone that has a totally different outlook. Like, hey, no, you got to get your kid. Your daughter needs you.
Okay.
And I just don't want you to ever ruin that for her, keeping this journal of things that don't really matter. Once she gets of age, those things don't really matter. Like Maya said, she'll see that. She'll see everything that you had to do. You know, you got to protect your kid, but to a certain extent, a certain degree. I don't think you need to do that, but you do what's best for your daughter.
Absolutely. Of course, we hear with co-parenting relationships that when the parent is happy, the child is happy. So it could be a situation where a mom has primary placement of the kid, But she may be going through something. So the dad has to come in and try to help out because maybe she's not happy. How do you guys feel about that? If the parent is happy, then the child is happy. That saying. Anybody? Lady B?
Well, repeat that question. Okay. You said, but if the parent is happy and is the child
happy? Yeah.
For sure.
Is that true?
I certainly believe that. If the if the parent is happy, the child will be happy. I certainly believe that. If everything is working like it's supposed to, my daughter, for instance, she goes with her dad every summer. So that's what she's accustomed to. She's used to that now. So that's what we do. If that falls off, it's like, okay, what happened? You know what I mean?
Right.
What's going on? So, I mean, there were predicaments. I mean, with this COVID situation happening, I'm sure he has four children total. I only have her. There were things that were going on over there that probably, you know, they probably fell off a bit, but they still kept afloat. They fell off, and a piece of me wanted to jump in and help assist, but that's really not my place. You know what I mean? I still have to take my place, but I love them enough to understand my daughter's over there, and she needs to be happy, too. If it's a financial situation, like I received, like I received his stimulus check, for instance. I was thinking about kicking that back, but they were good. You know what I mean? Because I know my daughter's here. She needs to be good too. And I know everybody like, oh, money, he owed you that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but my daughter over there.
Exactly.
That house not running, my daughter not good.
Right. And that's what's most important.
Yeah, sacrifices. So.
Absolutely not. I agree with Toby, though, on that one. For me, I know it's like if my kids are happy, I'm good. When they're pissed off, I'm pissed off because I will say, like, just like Toby just said, like, if my son, if his dad doesn't come pick him up, his whole mood and aura, everything about him changes, and he's pissed at the world, and mommy can't, like, whatever mommy say and do is all bad. I could say, you want ice cream, and I get this evil stink eye, like, what did you do? Look, and it'd be like, okay, we need to sit down and we need to talk. Like, I didn't do this. What happened? Daddy didn't show up. Okay, baby. Mommy had nothing to do with that at all. Like, my son is to the point of critical thinking. He's 5, and people are like, he critical think? Yes, we have to critical think about stuff. I have to ask him or tell him to ask the question why. Keep asking why until you get the answer that you like at the end. And so he does that now with his father. If his dad says, no, you can't come over, he'll ask him why. If he say he gotta work, he'll say, well, why? Like my son, he just keeps asking why until he's satisfied. Cause I got to the point of, I got tired of making excuses for their dad. Like he would just not show up and I'll just be like, I don't know, dad got busy or dad's working or just whatever it could be, dad's sick. I would just make all kind of different things, and before I knew it, it turned into he just wasn't getting them just because. And so after so long, I'm like, you know what? You need to tell your kid why you don't want to get him, because I'm out of excuses here. He knows that you don't work. He knows you're not busy. So when my son started asking that question, it turned around. Like now he tries to be a little more truthful. He'll just say, well, kid, I got something to do. But now he'll ask him, well, what you doing? Can I go too? So when my son is mad, I'm mad.
What about, like, not the whole weekend if he doesn't honor that? What about a couple hours out of a Saturday or a Sunday? Just to have
I don't care when he gets them. Like, I'm to the point where you can get him whenever you want to. Like, all he has to do is tell me. Like, text me and say, hey, I'm getting the kids. That's it. He doesn't. Like, well, today, for instance, he went to go see the kids, literally saw our children for 5 minutes, and he hasn't seen them in probably 3 weeks. So when I picked them up, it was like, daddy came, I'm going to daddy house. And I had to ask my son, well, did daddy say he was coming to get you, or what are we doing? I'm calling daddy. I'm going to ask him. And so I let him call, but then his dad didn't answer. So then it was like, he was pissed. And I'm like, well, kiddo, you just called. He didn't answer. You left a voicemail. That's all we can do. We tried. Now let's do something else and get over it.
Absolutely. Now, I know a lot of times when we have these situations where we're co-parenting and things aren't going right or we need help, and sometimes when we can't come to get on the same page together on our own, we have to take the situation to the courts. So my question to you, ladies, is do you think it should be that the court should be involved, and if so, at what point?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say no. What? The only reason why I say no is because I feel like the court can't make a father be a father, and also the court can't make a mother be a mother, just because there's mothers, like the situations are reversed, where dads have full custody of their kids and full placement, mm-hmm. and the moms are the deadbeat moms. So mm-hmm. I feel like if you are adults, y'all should be able to figure it out. Now, I can say that with that being said, my baby daddy, or my ex-husband, he is on child support, but it wasn't because I put him on child support. It was because I got child care. So I have to remind him, I didn't put you on child support. The system put you on child support because you refused to help me. Now, if you want me to get off the system, you can watch your kids while I go to work. Or something. Like, we need to figure something out, and he never wants to do that. So it turned into, well, you can take me off. I can take you off because I still get child care. So it's not my fault that they are in our business. It's both our faults because they are in our businesses. We can't be an adult and figure out a better solution.
So mm-hmm. you're saying they should not be involved? You said no?
I don't feel like they should have to always be involved. Like, when it comes to, like, if the courts have to tell you when to get your kids, how to get your kids, I feel like at this point, parents need to be mature enough to be able to say, we need to grow the hell up for our kids so we can co-parent better. Because I don't be feeling like it's healthy for kids to have to go through it unless you know how to keep your kids out the mess. If you can't keep your kids out that mess, no. And so I try to co-parent as best as I can without having to go through the court. Like, our arrangement for placement and everything is open. It's just we communicate how we gonna do this.
I would disagree with that. If it's necessary, it's necessary. And it's just a third-party situation, the courts. I certainly agree with you with you shouldn't have to make someone be a parent, but if it's necessary, it's necessary. My daughter's father, throughout the pregnancy, it wasn't the best, so I already knew what time it was, and child support was an option, and I took that option. So that court date was set prior to me even delivering my daughter, okay? And that was fine. I did everything I could prior to the court. And if that's the lane we had to take, because he didn't have a father. We had his father, but he wasn't around. He wasn't active. So he was treating my daughter. He was going to treat my daughter the same way he was treated, you know? So his mother, you know, she didn't push him to do the right thing. And it just was what it was. So back then, there was a lot of W-2 going on, you know? And I was a part of it. You know, so I did what I needed to do as far as taking care of my daughter. But if somebody else has to step in and help you get that assistance, that's just what it is. I don't think it's fair for one of the parents to sit back and have to badger you about being a parent. That's not fair. Child support turns into the biggest piece. Like you said, there were child care involved. There were other things involved. Everyone highlights the child support piece. Guess what? You knew the child needed Pampers. You knew the child needed milk. Nobody should have had to tell you that.
Right, right. No, I agree with all of that. Like, don't get me wrong, I do agree with that. Like, when it comes to the support part, yeah, I do feel like he has to help. Like, if I got to go through child support to get it, but coming to find, it's just like, okay, well, they still can't make you pay, and they still ain't gonna make you be a father and get your kid.
When it's time for your registration hold, when it's time, they do a lot of things. Liens, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of penalties to not paying your child support, not taking care of your child. If that's the avenue you want to take, then that's what it is. That goes on your credit report. There are a lot of things that happen to you when you don't take care of your
child. You can't get a passport.
Yeah, you can't do a number of things. You can't live your life the way you want to live it. Mm-hmm. So child support, court. I believe in court, yeah. If that's what you got to do. If I got to apply pressure to you to take care of your kid, then that's what it is. We don't have to keep talking about it, though. And no. I did tell everyone, I'll say this. With my daughter, when we went to court, it was more so how much does he need to pay. Guess what? I was woman enough to give him the minimum amount because he was in college. I thought he was going to get his degree. And, again, I felt like if you got your degree, that'll help my daughter in some way. Right. That'll impact my daughter. That's not what happened. He didn't even finish. He took that. It was $60 a month. What's $60 for a newborn? That's not fair to me. And you don't get her physically? That wasn't fair to me. But I took all that from my child. You know what I mean? But the court, you better believe it, when there's an interception, that's me. And I said, all you.
All you, sis.
I'm going to get that. I ain't going to talk about it either. This is my money. I'm going to get that, and I'm going to take care of your daughter. Don't worry. But you're going to do your part.
That's right. My experience.
Whether you're doing it voluntarily or not.
My experience with, you know, the two people or whatever that I have to deal with, one went down and put himself on child support. You know, like Darian is a really, oh, I shared his name, my bad. My son's father is a stand-up guy, you know, and I have no problems with him going out there and just saying, hey, you know, like we were still together when he did it. Like he went down there, he put himself on child support. And I was fair and I said, you know, hey, he covers him on his insurance and I got like a minimum, you know, so I wasn't, it was more than, you know, enough, you know, so it wasn't, I wasn't tripping. But, with the other one, it was like, you know, we broke up and he just stopped helping, you know, so I had to do something, you know, I had to make sure that my child was well taken care of because my daughter has special needs and I don't want to call it a burden, but I didn't want to have that financial burden of taking care of her because she's expensive. So, yeah, I did it, you know. And, of course, I feel like, you know, when the parents are not able to get along, the courts come in as a mediator. And, unfortunately, you know, when you're going back and forth with a parent who's being immature, you need that person to intervene and say, hey, this is the way it's going to be. And whether you like it or not, this is what it is. Unfortunately, that's what I have to deal with. But hey,
right.
Top of the hour.
I'm sorry, you got in with that girl.
What'd you say? I ain't hear that.
I said, I'm sorry you got to deal with that. But I mean,
I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm so, and you know, it's like people say, why did you have kids by a person XYZ? And I didn't have any signs that he was going to do this, you know, so we were engaged. Like, we had so many things that, you know, he wanted the child. So I had no red flags. So yeah, I'm sorry I got to deal with it, you know, but hey, life is life. At least I have a great example of what co-parenting should look like. So I look at it from an optimistic standpoint.
It'll get better.
Sure.
Well, we are at the top of the hour. It's 7 o'clock, so we're going to go to break. When we come back, if there are any listeners who have any comments or questions, feel free to call in or let us know that you have a question or comment. 215-490-9832.
Get in. Pick up the phone, girl. God almighty. You make me miss my show. It's going to be some trouble. I'm talking about I had you destroyed.
God almighty. Hi, and thanks for joining the Tricky Lake Show. Today's topic is, and ladies, you're going to love this. No good dad and their baby's mom.
Look at there. Oh, I'm a phone figure. Pick up the phone, girl.
That's just my baby daddy.
Who that is?
That's my baby daddy.
Who that is?
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 My baby daddy.
Why every time I call, it's the same thing. You got to be on the phone when you're lame. I either Shauna or Donna.
$27,500 in back child support.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Ray, Ray, you
no.
He has to go there.
Stop it.
Who that is?
My baby daddy.
Who that is?
My baby daddy.
Who that is?
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Good evening. We are here with the ladies, the gorgeous ladies from After Seven. We are doing a magnificent job of talking about co-parenting. I am William Rogers, and let me say, I'm not the baby daddy, but I am William Rogers, and I am happy to be here to introduce you all. I figured that would make you laugh. But anyway, I wanted to just kind of let our listening audience know that this is a part of the TimeForAnAwakening.com platform. The programs that you're hearing are part of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network, and we have several programs. I'm going to list what they are now, and the ladies of After Seven are part of that family. But let me just tell you about a few other programs that are on the Time for an Awakening Network system. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we have a program that airs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is called African Perspectives, and it is with our brother Oshie. And I understand our brother Oshi had some medical conditions, and he was hospitalized very briefly. It's a very good possibility that brother Oshi is now home. I pray that he is. I have not talked to our good brother since then, but I do want to check on him very shortly today to see how he's doing. And so I say to you, our listening audience, let's take him in prayer. And to our ancestors, and pray that he is definitely recovering well. We will keep our radio audience informed. But his program airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 to 1, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And even though he is ill, his programs are still broadcasting. He has a rebroadcast that is going to come on tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Brother Oshi, African Perspectives. And then on Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed. 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. The host is Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's also Eastern Time. And then on Monday evenings, from 8 to 9 p.m. Central, Eastern Time, that's Black Therapy Central. Black Therapy Central, and that program is hosted by Queen Mother Cambone, and Dr. Queen Mother Cambone and Sister Nataki Cambone as well. And that program airs every Monday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Monday evening from 9 to 10 on the first and third of every Monday, the first Monday and third Monday of every month from 9 to 10 Eastern Time, there is a conversation on reparations. Conversation on reparations. And then on Tuesday from 7 to 9 Central, 8 to 10 Eastern, Black Reality Think Tank with your host, myself. And that program, again, airs every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10. And then on Thursday, you are listening to these dynamic young ladies, 7 to 9 after 7. And this is such a vital program because this is the generation that will take the lead as the rest of us begin to take our bow out of here. And they will take the lead. They will be running the things. They are the future principals of schools. They are the future politicians. They're going to be running the cities and the countries. And so we need to hear them and give our support and our advice wherever it may be needed. That's after 7, every Thursday from 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central. And then on Friday from 8 to 10, Time for an Awakening, who is the owner of this platform, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, dynamic program. They bring on some very powerful, high-powered political, economic, historical figures, and they have questions and answers and discussions around all of those issues that impact the African world. That is Time for an Awakening, every Friday evening from 7 to 9 Central, 8 to 10 Eastern. And then on Saturday, we have Black Sister Talk with Sister LaWanda Chambers. She is every Saturday evening from 3 to 5 Central, 4 to 6 Eastern. She has been absent for a couple of few weeks, but she's back. She'll be back this Saturday from 3 to 5 and 4 to 6 Eastern Time. Black Sister Talk. And then following that at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, you have the Elders of Sankofa with Brother Alfonso Watkins. The Elders of Sankofa. Saturday evening from 6 to 8, 7 to 9 Eastern Time. And then on Sunday, Time for an Awakening again with Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central. Time for an Awakening. And then coming up in August, we have a Black Farmers Program that's going to begin to air. I'm looking forward to that. We don't have a date as of yet, but pretty soon that will be happening. And so that is the lineup of the Black Reality Think Tank program networks, as well as the Time for an Awakening programs that air through the week. And we encourage you to go to the website at www.timeforanawakening.com, and you can go into that podcast portal and look at any of the programs, listen to any of the programs that have aired previously. Like this program will be posted in that system in about an hour from now, and you will be able to go back and listen to some things that you may have missed. But we do encourage you to do that. It's www.timeforanawakening.com. That is the website that you will be able to find. So we thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your support and all the things that you do to help us move this program forward. So vital. So with that, I am going to turn you back over to these dynamic young ladies.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rogers. Don't go nowhere so fast, though.
Okay.
We don't want to run away so fast.
Okay.
Because we want to go to you for, you know, we've been talking about co-parenting in 2020. And I welcome everyone back from break. But we want to go to you like we always do for a historical standpoint.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I must say, as I indicated to you before we came on there, I'm learning so much from you all, man. Yeah. Good gracious.
But Dr. Rogers, you said you're not that baby daddy.
I ain't that baby daddy. I'm sorry.
No. The
generation that I was raised in was obviously totally different. We all, you know, I know you hear that 1,000 times. But it was. But there are some root reasons why it was different. And I think some of that was melted away as it began to move toward your generation. And somehow or the other, it's like that Sankofa concept, the Sankofa bird, which is always looking back and grabbing an egg so he could move forward. And that's what we are doing. That's what you're doing with the After 7 program. You're trying to reestablish some of those platforms. I mean, they're very difficult. You know, we've had as James Weldon Johnson said, stony the road we trod. And so we've had some real rough and difficult paths to walk in and come from, and so did our ancestors. And even though it was different than your generation, it was still a struggle. There were still some of the same things that you see today were going on then. It's just that it was handled different. That's the whole key. I myself was born to a teenage mom in the South. 16-year-old girl birthed me. And her birth was, the father issue of that was challenging. Not quite sure who was who. But they kept it quiet. I knew nothing about it. It didn't surface to me until actually I was an adult that what the problems or the challenges may have been in terms of who the daddy was and what the daddy was about. And I don't mind talking about that because it's just not that much of a difference even now. It's just the way that it's handled. We always have problems. The problem in a lot of cases, we often hear you people say, is the way it's handled. The bottom line is that the African tradition was strong family. The historical perspective is that we came from strong family. I was raised by my grandmother. My mother was immediately taken from her and given to my grandparents, and they raised me. And for many years, I thought that was my mother until I was finally told, I was about 10, 11 years old, that my grandmother was not my mother. But it didn't impact me, I don't think. I didn't feel any different. I lived a wonderful childhood. Had a wonderful community and neighbors. I mean, we struggled, yeah, true, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know we didn't have no money. But it was handled, like I said, it was handled a lot different. And so all of these things you're seeing now is a new generational response to the same problems that's always been there. In the African tradition, you know, that's why they had such strict rules with family. This is a whole nother discussion for another time, so I don't want to get into it, but let me just kind of tell you where I'm going with that. In a lot of the traditional West African countries and cultures, they would circumcise the woman's clitoris. And there was a reason for that culturally. And I know the argument about that's not right and so forth and so on. But I'll tell you what, there were no teen pregnancies that had not been sanctioned by the family because they understood that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, and that's the mom. And so if a child is going to do anything in life, that mother is going to be at the center of that. Now, the father has to be there, too. Now, that's not dismissing him, and he does have a responsibility. Well, in my day, the fathers knew that, and they didn't play around. I'm sure they had family courts. I'm sure that men were forced to have to take care of their children in some cases. But at the same time, I don't remember having it at the crisis and level that it is today. So as you begin to keep your conversation going, I think the job is going to be to reestablish some of those platforms of strong family life. You got to tell your children, that your boys particularly, you got to tell your boys, you got to raise your son to be the kind of husband or man that you want in your life. Raise him like that. And he's got to understand that. And that's the way I was raised. I was raised to respect women, whether I knew them or didn't know them. And my mother didn't play that, any disrespect. And even the young ladies that we dated, none of that was missing. We had the same urges that men had today, but there was a way you had to approach that. You had to approach that different. So anyway, with that, I think that might give you some historical background to the way things were in my day.
It does. It definitely does. And we appreciate you always giving us your historical viewpoint. It really helps a lot. Now, one thing that you mentioned that kind of stuck out to me mm-hmm. was that, you know, it happened back then, but it wasn't as bad.
Right.
So my question to you is what do you think is what contributes to it now being bad or worse than it was when you were coming up?
Okay. I've had this discussion, a real deep discussion. I want to kind of be open and honest with you. So I think that to a certain point, as women, and I'll be willing to take the hit from you after I say this, you're gonna have to lock it up. You're gonna have to put a key on that when it comes to see brothers.
Okay.
It's too open. You're willing to. I mean, not y'all. When I say y'all, I'm talking y'all. Women since today are willing to. I mean, they don't even have to ask. You ask them. That cannot happen. I'm telling you, as men,
absolutely.
As a male, I'm telling you that cannot happen. Because I see it total. When you do that, that's a total another message that you are sending, and very clearly the respect part of that leads. Yeah, every man wants to jump on it and hit it. You know, that's the way it is. But it takes the respect out. They don't want to marry one like that. And you'll hear them say that. I don't want to marry nobody like that. I'll hit it, though. You know, I've had young guys tell me that in mentoring programs. Uh-huh. And I'll say, yeah, okay, I hit it. I said, but then would you marry her? No, you ain't marry her. And these, I'm talking 11, 12-year-old boys that we have mentored in the Milwaukee Public School over the years, and we talk about these kind of things to them. And I said, well, then would you want somebody to hit your sister like that? No, heck no, she better not do that. I said, well, then how you going to allow that? How you going to do it? That's different. And I remember when they started coming out with the names that they used to call women, chicken heads. And I mean, I said, what is a chicken head? And they explained to me what a chicken head was. I said, oh, my God. And Shannon, you know very well over there at Blighton. You were there when that video went surface wild that time, were you?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, that was when those cell phones were coming in. I could not believe that.
Yep.
So that's the difference.
But you're right, Doc.
That's the difference. Y'all got to lock it up for a minute. I'm not saying say no to sex. I'm just saying got to put a key on that. When it comes to some brothers, they don't understand how that works. They haven't had the indoctrination. Now, my mother told me she would kill me if I got a girl pregnant. That was a threat. I don't necessarily think that was the strongest way of parenting that. But guess what? I did not have no babies until I got married because I was scared. And then when my wife did get pregnant before we got married, my son was born in September. Of a year, and so she had gotten pregnant around Christmas. We were dating, and when they found out about it, her father told me that he needed to see me, and I was so scared. I went to see him, and he said, now listen, let me explain something to you, boy. And he went on to run it down, and I was scared me to pure death. I was like shaking in my boots. But
I'm playing with you.
That's what it was. So you know, they have to have the consequences. They don't understand the consequences. And when you open up like that, they lose that sense of responsibility.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Answering that for me.
Okay.
That really, you know, shed some light on some things. So we appreciate that. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, yeah, absolutely. So now we're going to open it up to our listeners for any comments, questions, any ideas, or suggestions. So we have a caller on the line, last four digits, New Jersey caller. Last four digits of your number is 0265.
Hello.
I just unmuted your mic. You're live.
Okay. Good evening, sisters. First off, I'm going to run through real quick. Anything you got to say, just tell me to pause and I'll stop. The elder, you guys asked the elder a question about what's different now than then, because it's a lot worse now. And what's worse now is the reason being is that our children aren't raised up we're raised up in a Western culture. And we spoke about that 3 weeks ago. So this Western culture tells us that it's normal to have these blended families and ex-blended families. And when these men, are deadbeat dads and they're not involved in the child's life, these men are still invited to the neighborhood barbecues. they're still invited to the house parties. And back in the elders' day, if it was a, I'm sure that if there was a male that wasn't taking care of his responsibilities and duties, he wasn't welcome to the barbecue. And if he came to the barbecue, he would get so much shade, it was embarrassing. But now, it's normal. So we allow these brothers to come to these barbecues and family functions and friend functions as if, and everyone knows he'll take care of his kid, but they'll buy him a drink. They'll sit down and they'll smoke a butt with him. You know, so that's, you know, just one thing first off. Secondly, we were going into earlier, Scripture tells us that if you should get a friend, which is if you're courting somebody, that you should prove that person first and not be so quick to credit that person. So we're making hasty decisions in who we are having children with. And then the onset of it is they weren't proven in the beginning. So now when things get rocky, things go astray and things are just terrible. It's happened. It's very difficult to change it, but what we can do is break the chain of sending those messages down to the young youth. In my Hebrew community, we teach young boys and young girls the order of a household. And at the top of that order in the house is the man. Now, if you listen to Dr. Joy DeGruyter, I don't know if you sisters are aware of her, she speaks about post-traumatic slave syndrome. So a lot of these things that we're functioning in, because living in this Western world, and we're being taught something that is not culturally sound in our culture, we're practicing them. So if we're going to continue to live in this Western world and not put the man at the head of the household, and, you know, the man is the person that needs to be the authority or the CEO of decision-making in the household. Now, with women, I can understand if a woman wants to go and become Kamala Harris. Well, if you're going to say to yourself, I want to be a Kamala Harris, then you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to choose a man that complements that. So a man that his lifelong dream was becoming a third grade teacher, that's the man for you, because his schedule is going to coincide with the child's schedule so that you can go and be the Kamala Harris. But then you also got to understand that him being a third grade teacher, his pay is going to be somewhere around $45,000. A Kamala Harris makes $200,000 a year, but still in the household. The male is the masculine person in the household, and he needs to always be the one that is guiding the family into what's going to happen and what's going to be done in terms of vacation, in terms of what we're going to do in terms of managing money in the house and purchasing cars or furniture. You know, so it's not, in my mind, a diminishment of the value of the woman. But Scripture also says that the woman was put here for man to be a helpmeet, that her desires need to be of the man's desires. So if you're finding a man that doesn't align with your desires, like the elder said, you got to lock it up.
Well, thank you so much for that. I just wanted to say, like, I totally agree with what you're saying. The only part that I don't agree with, or I'm not going to say I don't agree, the only part I want to say is that, you know, for a lot of us women like me, my kids are by my ex-husband. Like, I was thinking I found my partner that I was going to do life with, and it turned out to be that he didn't. The dreams and aspirations that he had suddenly changed. I was still supporting him and whatever he wanted to do, but I felt like his dreams and aspirations didn't involve me and our children anymore, which is why we ended up getting a divorce. He wanted to get divorced, so I gave him what he wanted, and he was supposed to be the head of our house. So I'm totally, you know, in agreement that a man is supposed to be the man, be the head, and lead his family in the direction that they're supposed to go. But something happened along the way where my helpmate, his whole life changed, and so our whole life changed. And our situation became something totally different than what it was supposed to be.
I agree, V. I think that you brought up a bunch of good points. You know, one of the most important things that you made mention to was the fact that society doesn't hold these men accountable. Like, even right. in some situations, like, they allow men to go into other families and destroy them. And I mean destroy them by creating more babies by women when the man is not complete. And I don't think that it's on the woman that, you know, hey, we're not deciding. Because if you're talking about these women on this panel, you know what I'm saying? I can honestly say that, you know, you got some women that know what they want, you know, especially in a partner. And I, for sure, you know, definitely chose, in my opinion, great guys. You know, I saw them parenting. With my last ex, I was with him for 5 years, you know, 3 years before we decided to have a child, and we were engaged. So, I mean, it wasn't, again, I didn't see any red flags. I didn't see things or whatever that I should have said, oh, my God, let me run the other way. I mean, in that aspect of him not being a co-parent, like, as far as relationship, yeah, maybe, but you know what I'm saying? We didn't create the child off of the, you know what I'm saying, we didn't create the child off of that. When we decided to split, we decided to split, but I always thought that he would be a good father, you know? So I get what you're saying, but I think that society plays a huge role in holding these men accountable.
I agree with that. I didn't pick him, but I didn't do my part either. Like, I was super immature. I didn't know any better. I grew up in the hood. So, people, I had sex late, but I got caught up, one of the first to get caught up, you know, with getting pregnant. But I didn't know. I didn't grow up in a family-oriented situation where I could see somebody, you know, suffering from being a teen mom or things like that. So I didn't know. But, of course, now I haven't had any more children. I only have my daughter, and she'll be 17 in December. But I knew enough now not to continue with that, not to do that again. But I certainly learned from it, but I didn't know. So I should have did my part as a woman. But, I did not know.
That's deep, Tavy. That.
Right.
That's deep. Thanks for sharing that. That's deep.
Absolutely. And I agree with Tavy, like, with the red flags. I can honestly say when me and my husband got together, he had one child, and he was a great father. Like, he always had his son. We always did stuff together. Pretty much it was like him and his child's mom, pretty much it was like they had a 50-50 everything. And it didn't matter when we got his son, even when we had to move halfway across the world, he still was with us, or in the country, we were still together, and we still figured things out. Like, so he was a great father figure. He was a supporter, a provider, the whole nine. And I honestly feel like when he went into the military, came back, he did serve in Afghanistan and everything. He came back a totally different person. Like, things totally took a 180 spin. And it was just like, we were married, I want to say 4 years before we had our first child. And things just started changing from there. And it was just like, wait, you are not the guy I married. What happened? Because the guy I married, I wouldn't even have to ask for money for our child. I wouldn't have to ask for you to take care of him, anything. And now when I say, hey, don't you want to get your son? It's like I'm pushing our son off on him, and he feels some kind of way. Like, why are you always trying to give him to me? Like, whoa, I didn't think he was like a package that we just took back and forth. He just wants to be with you. So, like I said, it was no red flags for me. Like, he was an amazing father before, so I just don't know what happened.
Wow,
it's
probably hard for you to see that coming.
Say that again, I didn't hear you.
It was probably hard for you to see that coming.
Oh, definitely. And I can't say, like, I know we did a show a couple weeks back about mental health. I deal with that in my therapy sessions about, you know, like, what happened? Why are my kids so different than the firstborn that all of a sudden now you don't want to be a father? Like, I have to beg and plead for you to keep our kids, to take care of our kids, to do for our kids. And then with the oldest, you had him pretty much like this whole pandemic, you've had him at your house. But every time our children call to come over, it's, nope, I'm busy, nope, I gotta go to work. And it's just like, wait, what?
Right.
like, I need a break. I need a, you know, a spa day. You don't want to watch the kids? Nope, I got something to do. Like, if it didn't involve us being together, doing it together as a unit, it didn't happen. So, for me, I can't honestly say it boggles my mind every time because I just don't understand what happened. Because he loves his kids. I will never deny that. It's just being a father has totally changed.
Wow.
Mental health plays a huge role in that. Yeah. Thanks for uplifting that part.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back to our callers. We have a caller in Milwaukee call. Just your number is 988. My area and your mute has been unmuted. Do you have any questions? Caller 8988. All right, I guess not. So we will go back to our ladies on the panel. So when talking about our co-parenting in 2020. Now, of course, since you guys are no longer together, you may still be dating. You might be out here dating and maybe searching for your partner that you should be with for the rest of your life, you think, your life partner.
Hey.
So, so my question to you, what are you guys' views on dating while co-parenting? Does your child's mom or dad have any input on that at all?
Who you want to go to first, Maya?
I'm going to you, because it seems like you got something to say, girl.
I honestly have nothing to say about this. My ex, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I think they... You know, as far as dating, I've been put in obstacles where it's impossible for me to date. You know what I'm saying? It's impossible for me to really seriously take a man serious because I don't want to bring nobody into mess. I don't want to bring anybody into drama until, you know, certain things are ironed out. I don't think that I would be able to seriously date somebody. Now, I have friends, you know, but I can't answer that question. Like with my son's father, it was always a problem, you know,
okay.
But when we got older, he accept my ex and, you know, they were cool. It was fine, but I can't answer that question now because it's just, yeah, it's, yeah.
So you're not dating?
I mean, that's private. I'm dating, but it's like I'm not bringing anybody around my child.
Got you.
So nothing serious right now. Yeah, nothing that serious. I mean,
okay.
Let me shut up. Mute my mic.
Okay, I got you. But what about you, baby?
What you all know, I just got out of something, but he met my daughter's father, and I would prefer it that way. If it gets serious, then the guy would meet my daughter, and then,
okay.
But I would love to have my daughter's father meet the guy first, but he's not that cool. He's not all that cool like that. But they met, you know, with events going on, things like that, for my daughter. So they met, and he hasn't had a problem. I know, well, he's told me before, I know you wouldn't do anything to put life in jail. You know?
Oh,
why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. No, I wasn't talking. It was a text message. I'm sorry. My bad. Oh. You're right.
So they've met, but I'm dating now, but she wouldn't meet the person I'm dating or anyone I'm dating because I'm not dating anyone seriously right now. But I think that's important, though, to make sure that your co-parenting partner, it's cool with it, but it's not really a mandatory thing to do. Because I would think both parties would make sure their child is, you know, safe. That's what
absolutely.
You
that should be important.
Right. So I have enough faith in my daughter's father to know that he wouldn't put her life in jeopardy, have her around someone that would mistreat her. So that we haven't come, thank God, but we haven't been in that predicament.
Good.
Amen.
That's awesome. For me, I would have to say I tried it, and I was laughing a little bit, Tavia, I'm sorry, but it was only because the same answers that your other half, I'm serious, what he said is what mine said. It was, I would think you would never put our kids in danger, so I don't feel like I need to meet anybody you with. And I just felt like, I feel like you should. Like, if I'm in a serious relationship with someone, I would want you to know who your kids are around. And he just kind of felt like it was disrespectful. So I guess moving forward, I guess I wouldn't even try. But when it comes to my kids, you don't meet my kids unless we real life in a committed relationship. You about to put a ring on it. So dating wise, I'm not even going to say I'm dating anybody because I'm not. And it's hard to date anybody because I always got my kids. And I don't want nobody around my kids because people are crazy. And I can get just as crazy. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to just be single till they 18.
No, we're gonna get you out.
She ain't gonna be single.
We're gonna get you out, okay?
But what about those incidents? I know we during COVID and all this other stuff, but have y'all ever ran into somebody y'all talking to while y'all with y'all kids and y'all never like introduced them to y'all children? Because that happened to me a couple of times.
What'd you do?
What did I do? I said, hey. And then if, you know, my daughter or my son asked who that was, I'm like, that's mommy's friend, you know, and we kept it moving. just kept it moving.
Right.
Yeah, that's happened to me once. And it was uncomfortable. I'm going to be honest, it was uncomfortable because one, the kids were not supposed to be there, but they were. And he popped up to give me something for my daughter and my son. Actually, he had bought them both some shoes. And they weren't supposed to be there, and he came in, and I was like, crap, this is why I don't do pop-ups or surprises. And he kind of met my kids on a hubbub, and I was just like, well, this is my friend from school, because we did go to school together. And they were like, oh, he's an old friend. I'm like, yeah. And then my kids just went to play, and then it was like he never existed, because they didn't ask any questions after that.
But
they were like, whatever.
Right.
Something you said, V, was that he would need to be putting a ring on it before he met your kid. So what if he put a ring on it and he met your kids and he was like, wait a minute, they too much?
That's a good question. I gotta go.
I wasn't put in this predicament. You told me you had kids and you talked to me like they're so sweet, but when I met them, this was a bit too much for me.
Because Bella be jumping on couches.
or he comes from a different type of family, you know, because I know me growing up, my grandmother raised me, so it was no playing in the living room, no running around her house, no when grown people talking and you sitting in here too, it was none of that. So what if your children are not raised the way he's accustomed to, so now you guys have a problem and it's about your children and how you raise them?
I guess for me, I need to make sure I'm doing my due diligence at the end of the day to make sure that whatever guy I bring around my kids is going to be okay with that. Like, I'm not going to say he's not going to meet them, but it'll be like one of those, like, okay, we got to do this gradually. It's not going to be we jump in. Like, eventually, I'll feel like you got to date my kids too now. You know, like, I would.
That's what I'm saying. The ring part is probably too far along.
Well, no, I'm not saying like he has, like, I just feel like we should be somewhere where we feel like we're going to be committed. Like, we're in this committed relationship where we feel like we might have a future together. So I'm not saying he has to have a ring on it already, but we thinking about it. Like, we're thinking like I feel like I could do life with you. So now it's like, okay, we move into a next step. So now you can probably date my kids and see how this mesh out. Right,
Tavia, like, I think Steve Harvey said it should happen like right away. Like in his book, Think Like a Man, he said the kids should be introduced to somebody you're dating right away, you know, and I don't know if I can do that, you know, like I'm more private with my kids. Yeah. Like I don't want anybody interacting with my children, you know?
Yeah. I agree with that. I'm not doing that. I agree with the part where when you start feeling like it's getting serious, you know, then I think after my ex met my daughter after a year. And that worked out that way because of her going by her dad's for the summer and him also living out of town, you know, out of the state. So that worked out that way. And she met one other guy prior to that, but he was my best friend. And we ended up getting a relationship. That didn't work out, but she met him. And it was good that way, but she's older too. So, but before I didn't have her meet anyone, I just didn't. It didn't make sense to me. So I used to be a little bit like you, V, But as I got older, it's like, hey, they do have to date your children. They do need to understand your lifestyle for real, for real. Because I can tell somebody, my daughter can be a jerk at times. But you have to know her to know, you know, meet her to know that. But I'm like, mm-hmm. she's ever. So I'm portraying this, you know, this image like I got a sweetheart. And she could be evil sometimes. And you need to know that.
Oh, no, I tell people, I give them a disclaimer. Like, look here, so my son can be a complete asshole. Both my kids speak their mind very thoroughly. Oh. And I mean, granted, they're 5 and 3, but they are. I just teach my kids to be very vocal. I want them to let me know if something's wrong. And sometimes they'll just tell you plain out, well, I don't like you. And that's just them being honest. And I just tell people, don't take it personal. Like, they just telling you how they, what feelings they get, you know, from your aura, period. Because they could tell me, Mommy, you should go back to bed and try again. I just like, dang, y'all can feel that right now? So no, it's just, I'm not going to tell people.
But to your future man, though, Mommy, I don't like him. What if it turned out to a situation where he didn't give them a cookie or he wasn't ready to play when they were ready to play? Like, you, I don't think that you should let your children dictate your dating life. You know what I mean? Like, they shouldn't be able. They shouldn't have that. I don't think they should be able to do that. They're young.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I mean, I would give that person a disclaimer about my kids. Like, I mean, when I introduced my kids to even my friends, I think the first time Shani B met my daughter, I was just like, all right, so my daughter is a big old baby of a princess, and she speaks her mind very thoroughly. She's very outspoken. And I want to say that was pretty much true to her. When she saw her, she was like, oh, my God. Like, that's just my daughter. I just give people disclaimers. Like, let me just forewarn you, this is how she is. She might be a little standoffish, but she has to feel you out first. And if I feel like my kids are not comfortable around you, then we need to work on something. And I need to dig a little deeper as to why my kids are not comfortable around you.
We got another caller, y'all. Maya, you going to go to the next caller?
Absolutely. I see we have a new caller from Indianapolis. Last 4 digits of the number is 4150. Hello, caller. You have been unmuted and you're live on the air. Did you have any questions or comments?
Hello?
Hey.
Yes, can you?
We're talking about co-parenting. Do you have any advice or any experiences, co-parenting experiences you want to share with the audience?
You know, first off, I want to say, in listening to the show, I'm liking what I'm hearing. You guys had some pretty good topics. As far as the last part that y'all was just talking about, the importance of, you know, when you start dating and then the kids come into the picture, that's, for me, that's very important because that can make, I've seen relationships end because of it. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard when you're, I'm not going to say blending the family, but you know, when you dating somebody and you like them and then you got to work the kids into the equation and then you got to deal with, you know, the egos and the pride that goes along with it. Like, you know, this muscle, you know, he ain't gonna be around nobody. Or from the, you know, some of the, you know, women feel the same way about it. Ain't no other woman gonna be doing my daughter's hair type of thing. So that part is very important and, you know, making sure that you have, you know, both parties are mature, of course, but at the same time, you know, making sure and knowing that the person that you with, you know, if it's worthwhile and, you know, are you guys really building towards something? And, you know you're building towards something, then yeah, you know, you work the kids in there to meet them. But, you know, as far as what Steve Harvey talking about right away, I don't think that's the move, like, right away.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it should be right away until you know that this person is going to be around for a while. And even though, like I said, I don't have any biological children of my own, but raising my younger sisters because they were little girls, it was very important to me that I chose wisely as far as who I dated and who I brought around. So it made me really picky as far as who was able to share space with me. So, you know, even though, like, they weren't mine, but they mine, I would just make sure that, you know, any man that come around, even if I was dating, if I knew you wasn't going to be around for a long time, you weren't meeting my sisters. You weren't meeting my girls. So if I thought you was going to be around for a while, then okay, it's okay for you to meet them. But, and that didn't happen right away. You know, like it takes time to know, to get to know a person and to see if, okay, hey, this person gonna be around for a while. Okay, you know, he expressed an interest. He wants to meet my family. He wants to meet my girls. He understands that I have two little ones. So I don't think you should let your kids meet who you're dating right away, because they may not be around for a while. And why get them involved with somebody who's gonna be gone next week?
Right. Get them all emotionally attached, and then it's over before it even, you know, starts. And then
I have a question for you, caller. Do you have a co-parenting situation? Like, are you in a co-parenting situation? And like, what are some of the like wins that you've experienced in co-parenting? And then what are some of the like the, I guess, the losses, you know, the loses?
I'll start with the losses. The losses, in the beginning, there was a lot of unnecessary drama that I went through. So, the kids saw a lot and really didn't understand a lot. And then, of course, there was a lot that was said, you know, from the other parent that wasn't true. So, It kind of put a damper on certain things as far as, you know, trying to be mature. Like, it'll just be situations to where, you know, it's okay for her to move on and live her life and date and engage with whoever she's dealing with. But, you know, the moment I do it is World War VI. So it was, well, you can't see your kids if you dating somebody else. So, you know, I had to deal with that, had to go back and forth to court, you know, file motions and things like that. And honestly, it wasn't until, I want to say, probably 3 years ago, because now my kids are up in age and they're older, so now they're asking questions. Now they're putting two and two together, because I'm not going to put her name out there, but, you know, she's the mother's married, and, you know, she's in a kind of jacked up relationship, and, you know, now the kids are seeing that, so now they're like, I wonder if this is why dad wasn't around. So now they're asking questions, and now they're kind of snapping back at their mom about certain stuff. Because for me, when they were younger, I wasn't going to be that person to, you know, talk bad about their mom or put anything negative in there, because, you know, they were too young to understand. But now that they're older and they're asking questions, we're able to have a real conversation. Wow. About stuff. Even I've let them read text messages. You know, you didn't get us. I inquired about you. I asked, and this was what was said. You know, you can read the text message for yourself. So now it's like now, even recently, you know, they've inquired about, okay, we don't want to live. We don't want to be here. You know, we want to come out there.
So I have a question. So I brought this up earlier, like, hey, you know, when my kids get of age, like, it's okay to share your experience. It's okay to be authentic. I want to raise my children with forgiveness. So it's okay to go here, and let them see that parents are, I mean, they're human first, you know, because they're going to be parents and they have to understand that they're going to make mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes that your parents made. How old are your children, and when did you start sharing like the honesty or the rawness with them?
My oldest is 15 and my youngest is 13. So the oldest was 13, I shared with her. And then when the youngest, when she got probably about 12 and a half, maybe 13, because they're smart, like they're ahead of their time. So it was like they already knew certain stuff, but they really didn't know how to put it together. So they already knew certain stuff wasn't right, certain things that have been said, certain lies that have been told. So they had already started asking questions and putting two and two together, but they really just didn't really know about trying to go about wording it, or if they would get in trouble for asking such a question, or if they were being offensive or not. So they already had questions and suspicion about certain things to begin with. So it actually wasn't that hard to have that conversation with them, because that was one of the biggest things that I fear, because it's like, you know, you with somebody, y'all have kids that don't work out, you don't know what's being said about you when you're not around. So you kind of feel like, well, I wonder, how does the kid feel? Do they believe what they're being told? So that was one of the things I always fear. But now that, you know, they're older and they're asking questions, like, okay, you know, we can have this conversation, and they understand.
Now, I have one more question, because I know we're getting to the end of the show, and I'm not trying to take over, so I know I'm going to get beat up later on. But anyway,
I do have something to add, though, Shani. With you sharing things with your daughter, my piece was, there's still time for you, for your daughter's father to change.
Yeah, and it's not talking down on him. It's more of, you know, saying, hey, we're human, and I'm pushing character and forgiveness. You know, I don't want my child to have any unrealistic expectations of her parents, because I had unrealistic expectations of my mother. But I have a question for this caller, and I know you've been dropping jewels. The last question I have is it more receptive for a father? Because I know you guys are like the fun parents. You know, you guys do everything, and the moms, we carry the burdens. Like, is it more receptive for them to hear the truth from you, or for them to hear the truth from me? A female, a mother. Because, I mean, I don't know if it'll be... I mean, I haven't had to have the conversation with my mom. I mean, with my daughter, but I haven't had that conversation with my mom. I had it with my father, and I was more receptive to it. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think it depends on the type of relationship that you have with your kids. Because what I realized is there's going to be certain things that they're going to feel comfortable going to one parent with that they may not feel comfortable or confident going to the other parent with. So I think, for me, I've always been good at talking and keeping it real with them and letting them express themselves and, you know, just letting them be who they are, not changing them. But, you know, we have boundaries, and they understand that. Whereas with their mom is more so, it's different. And it's different because, you know, she's not really verbal about a lot of stuff, or she doesn't really expound on things that she should. And, you know, that kind of leaves, because, I mean, when you don't explain yourself and say nothing, you pretty much give that person the right to draw whatever conclusion or assumption they're going to draw. So it's like...
The story, yep.
Right. So you can, you know, when in there, at the moments where you actually the one where you can give closure to that particular situation, if you don't choose to give closure to that situation, then sometimes you build walls and stuff for yourself. So... You know, it just goes off the type of relationship that you have with your kids. Me, I'm a straight shooter. I'm not one of those people that have to be right all the time, because, you know, for some people, they got to be right. They got to get the last say out. They got to have the last words. For me, I'm going to tell you what it is. Now, what you choose to do with it after that, that's totally on you. But you can't never say you didn't hear the truth, or you didn't hear it. So for me, you know, it just depends on the type of relationship that you have with that parent.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you sharing your experience. And I want to thank all of our listeners tonight. I know we're coming up on 8 o'clock. So I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in, and our callers for lending their experiences and their comments on our topic tonight with co-parenting in 2020. And I want to go to our ladies on the panel, my beautiful and gorgeous co-hosts that I love so very much. I want to go to them and get your final and last remarks on co-parenting. So, Shani, I'm going to go to you first.
Aw, that's so sweet. Okay, I just want to say, you know, thank you guys for listening. You know, we put a lot of heart and soul and effort into these topics, and co-parenting is something that, you know, I struggle with, you know, and I've been struggling with for the last couple of years. And, you know, I want, you know, the basis, or the, you know, we do these shows to have these conversations because we know we're not doing everything right. You know, this group is like a support group, and, you know, we really want to get the families back together. So if there's something that, you know, we're not doing, we're open to, you know what I'm saying, like feedback from our audience. you know, we're going to grow together. We're going to learn together. And we love you guys. So thank you for listening. Keep on listening. And, you know, keep on striving for perfection. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Shani. What about you, Lady B?
So I kind of want to say, just like Shani said, thanks everyone for listening. And also, like, you know, we were just giving our personal experiences on co-parenting. We just trying to uplift our community and say that we can do this. Like, we just have to open up communication with our other halves, no matter how much you may or may not like that person. Remember, at the end of the day, it's about the kids. Always and forever, it's going to always be about the kids. That's the one connection that you guys will always have, period. So, you know, let's just try to do whatever we can to make sure that our kids can still at least have both of their parents at whatever cost. If that means you biting your tongue, trust me, I done bit mine a couple times, and it sucked, but if it makes my babies happy, it makes me happy.
I know that's right. I definitely also, I know Tavy had to drop off a little early, so I definitely want to thank her for being transparent and sharing her experiences as well. And again, I'm going to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. Thank you for our callers who, you know, lend, you know, they share their experiences and their ideas about co-parenting. As I said when I opened the show, co-parenting is something that is commonplace in our society today. And like Lady B said, you know, whether we like our ex or not, that doesn't matter because the children are what comes first. So we definitely want to make sure that, you know, we want to be able to co-parent. And I think that these conversations and these dialogues are important. So I'm glad that we're having them. And I want to make sure that everybody that's listening, you know, when you go, when you leave this call tonight, you go on about your everyday life. And you have children and you may be co-parenting, that you take some of the ideas and the experiences that you heard tonight. Because again, it is all about the children. So with that, I'm going to turn it over and we're going to go ahead and end tonight's show. Thank you for listening and make sure that you tune in next Thursday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
The first time the doctor placed you in my arms, I knew I'd meet death before I let you meet harm. All those questions arose in my mind, would I be man enough against wrong, choose right and be standing up? From the hospital that first night, took an hour just to get the car seated right. People driving off fast got me kind of upset, got you home safe, placed you in your bassinet. That night I don't think one wink I slept, as I slipped out my bed to your crib I crept. Touched your head gently, felt my heart melt, cause I knew I loved you more than life itself. Into my knees, and I begged the Lord, please, let me be your good daddy, all he needs. Love, knowledge, discipline too, I pledge my life to you.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you.
Just the two of us.
I think, man, a little me, just like me. Wait and see, gonna be tall. Makes me laugh, cause you got your dad's ears and all. Sometimes I wonder, what you gonna be? A general, a doctor, maybe a MC. I wanna kiss you all the time, but I will test that butt when you cut out a line. True that, why you do that? I try to be a tough dad, but you be making me laugh. Crazy joy, when I see the eyes of my baby boy. I pledge to you, I will always do everything I can, show you how to be a man. Dignity, integrity, honor, and I don't mind if you lose, long as you came with it. And you can cry, ain't no shame in it. It didn't work out with me and your mom, but yo, push come to shove, you was conceived in love. So if the world attacks and you slide off track, remember one fact, I got your back.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you.
The world.
It's a
full-time job to be a good dad. You got so much more stuff than I had. I gotta study just to keep with the changing times. 101 Dalmatians on your CD-ROM. See me, I'm trying to pretend I know on my PC where that CD go. But yo, ain't nothing promised. One day I'll be gone. Feel the strife, but trust life does go on. But just in case, it's my place to impart. One day some girl's gonna break your heart. And ooh, ain't no pain like from the opposite sex. Gonna hurt bad, but don't take it out on the next, son. Throughout life, people will make you mad, disrespect you and treat you bad. Let God deal with the things they do, cause hate in your heart will consume you too. Always tell the truth, say your prayers, hold doors, pull out chairs, easy on the swears. You're living proof that dreams come true. I love you and I'm here for you.
Just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Just me and you, just me and you.
True that.
Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you.